So as Mark said, the first part covers that across BDPD. I want to go into a little bit about where we're at on GPE and some proposals that we'd have that we really want some feedback on related to GPE as it continues into the future. Across BDPD has been going on here for a number of years. I know everybody knows these equations by heart because they always look through here and read this paper and make sure that they understand everything about it every year. That said, I'm going to go into it just a little bit anyway. The Across Breed EPD program is essentially a program that uses the breed differences as derived from the germplasm evaluation at U.S. Mark, evaluating 18 different breeds of sire, the breeds that have EPDs and commonly give those EPDs published every year in an NCE. It adjusts those using that little b in this equation right there to a mark, or just the mark derived differences to the differences that we would observe on an EPD scale based on the industry data using that little b. And basically what that means is that the variation in our breed differences and as reflected by the EPD scale within breeds is slightly different than the EPD scale we would typically see from the industry right now. We're trying to adjust and scale that difference, and then we compare that and adjust it further to get a full difference based on the EPDs of the bulls that we've sampled within the program, deviated from the EPDYY, deviated from whatever the mean is of the breed associations themselves, okay? So this is just a way, basically, we're taking breed differences that we've calculated on our whole GPE, 40-plus years of data, putting it on an industry scale with the regression, that B, and then basically trying to account for the EPDs of the bulls that we used in GPE so that we're making the system as unbiased as possible, okay? We take that breed difference and basically choose a breed, the breed that happens to be the most prominent in the United States now in terms of registration, Angus, and we basically deviate the resulting breed difference that's been adjusted for EPDs from the resulting breed difference for Angus. And by subtracting the EPD average from breed I from the EPD average of Angus, we're able to come up with a factor that can be additively added to EPDs from animals in any breed and make them directly comparable. Okay, that's the whole premise behind the program. And I think it's been pretty successful. It's been the basis for several things in terms of trying to help people benchmark where their breeds are relative to other breeds. Gets used a whole lot that way. Gets used by commercial bull buyers in order for them to say which bull should I buy and what are the traits that I can accomplish with this bull breed relative to buying another bull from another breed. Gives them an actual way to do that, a mechanism to add. So I'm a Hereford breeder, for instance. I want to do a terminal cross and choose between a Simmental and a Limousine. These factors would help you to be able to directly compare those animals when bred to your Hereford cow base. Okay? These are the genetic trends of the breeds that reported genetic trends this year relative to being adjusted for the scale. And you can see that this program has done a job of trying to, When you accompany it with the breed genetic trends, you see where some of the differences we see in breeds arise based on the slope of the selection programs within those breeds. In the early 1970s, for instance, the British breeds were typically smaller in yearling weight relative to where the breeds, the continental breeds that go back that far and record that far, those continental breeds were typically larger in yearling weight at that time. And based on the emphasis that both sets of breeds have placed on yearling weight as a selection criteria, we see that some of those changes have become less different over the years. Okay? So this has been useful, but it has led to some confusion in terms of the multi-breed model as performed by IGS right now, where there's been some confusion about whether the EPDs from that model are actually comparable directly across breed or whether these factors still need to be applied in order to do that. I will say that as of right now, and I'll say this here in a minute in another summary from the call we had from this BIF subcommittee, but those EPDs are not directly comparable, at least by the data that we have at the Media Analytics Research Center. But we are trying to make it into a system where the breeds in that IGS multibreed model would be on the same scale using breed differences that we have derived at the Media Analytics Research Center. And another way to say that then is that all the breeds that are participating in that program right now would be able to have the same factor each year in the across breed EPD factor release. Okay, those are two different ways of saying the same thing. One, they're directly comparable to each other. That would be the goal. And the other goal would be then, as a result of them being directly comparable to one another, they would have the same factor to be adjusted to in each year. Okay, we're in prototype stages right now. In the other talk, we're doing a lot between what's being done with the IGS model in collaboration with Bruce, who spoke here earlier, and we're also trying to then sort of rationalize and bring that together with these differences that we're seeing in the GPE in order to bring that goal about. Okay. Even after these breed differences would be incorporated into the multibreed and we do get them on the scale, though, it's still important that these factors are published each year because not all breeds will be participating in a multibreed model, and we don't expect that to happen anytime soon. And so the crossbreed EPD adjustment factors will remain important. A caveat to that is that we calculate those for 8 different traits right now. These are the traits that are probably the easiest to make a simple linear additive adjustment to. These would be birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, maternal milk, carcass weight, marbling, back fat, and ribeye area. There are several trait complexes that almost all the breeds report right now, Cavignese being one of the primaries of those, that an additive adjustment factor is probably not sufficient, and we probably couldn't just provide a table of things that you could add to the EPDs to make them directly comparable, because the breeds generally have those on different scales from one another. And those scales arise from the type of model that's used to calculate those traits without getting into the depth of it, these threshold models. And as a result, it's very difficult to actually compare them without actually trying to account for the variation of the EPDs within the breed. And a simple linear adjustment is probably never going to work that way. I want to point that out and talk about how we hope we can solve that later. We need to continue to think about ways then to deliver information in a timely manner, if not in real time. And that's a goal to think about, and I'll reiterate that here in a second. So just coming into these points, last fall's BIF board meeting, which took place sometime September, October, I'm not exactly sure when, but there was the confusion over whether these factors were still needed with the multibreed data, and also a point brought up that the crossbreed EPD factor release at the BIF board meeting is not necessarily the most optimal time of the year in order to hit bull buying seasons in the spring or in the fall, in order to allow commercial producers to actually compare the bulls from these different breed bases. And so basically this committee was formed to talk about these two things. The committee never actually met in person, but had a long conference call to talk about these things. And the major conclusions basically were that the adjustment factors are still necessary for comparisons across bulls, even for breeds involved in the IGS multibreed. Matt Spengler wrote a nice article about that's on the February newsletter available on ebeef.org. You can look that up now. I just looked it up last night. And that expedited releases of the factors prior to a high-volume spring bull buying season would be desirable. Okay, particularly this would be important when breeds do change their base, which does seem to happen for one breed a year, sometimes quite frequently. So overall goals then for us at the Meat Animal Research Center, since that's where a lot of this ends up falling, is that starting this year we will begin to target the release of a crossbreed EPD adjustment factors early in the calendar year. They wanted to pin me down a little bit better than earlier in the last committee. I think the idea really is to try to hit somewhere around that January 1 time frame that the in order to help the semen sales books that come out around that time of year as well. Okay. What that would take is basically we would do our part. Really, there's two processes, as you saw from those equations at the beginning, that go on in the way these factors are derived. One part of that is actually trying to develop our breed differences internally at U.S. Meow Research Center, which we could do any time of year without a lot of problem, but it makes good sense for us to do it when the weaning weights come in the fall. Okay, the second step of that really depends on the breed associations being able to get us a timely report of what the EPDs are for the breeds that are involved, have been involved in breed in GPE, and for being able to get the breed means, the current breed means for those same evaluations where those EPDs were produced. Okay, and both of these things are can be decoupled and done at any time. If we kind of assume that we do something once or twice a year with the MARC data, it's easy enough to make sure that, hey, breed associations, this has to be turned in now in order to make this report. And that just would be the way this goes going forward right now. Release of the crossbreed EPDs, I know later this summer, there is a published paper with the factors that were produced for this BIF meeting. I'm really suggesting everybody in this room, it takes a little bit more to dig those out of your proceedings anyway, because it's not in the press release form. Most people are typically used to looking at it on a table. They're not the ones to use probably right now. I'm putting Angus on the spot, but things are changing in Angus probably in the next couple months, and because everything is deviated from an Angus baseline in the crossbreed factors, we probably need to make sure that's correct before we actually release the commercial table that would be used this summer even. So we will have a new table probably coming sometime July-ish when we have that new data in our system. There's some other breeds that have mentioned that they had an update since what they gave us this spring as well. So I know I put Angus on the spot, but it's not just Angus, and I just won't put them on the spot the same way I did you guys. So otherwise, that's something we know when we were talking about this in the committee meeting two doors down. I think the rationale probably is that this may need to come out twice a year in some form, even if it doesn't change very much in the short term. In the long term, really, instead of saying, here's this report that Larry's going to put out twice a year, what we really need to have, hopefully we can have Bruce program someday, is something that's a web-based type of interface that lets basically the breed associations or U.S. MARC put the changes that are relevant in their web page design, and basically the breed association or MARC can change whatever they need to change at any point in time, and it will automatically update any sort of table that's available, okay, in real time. And basically it becomes an education step of all of everybody in this room to make sure that people are checking the web page when they want to start making comparisons to make sure their EPDs are current. Okay. That's what would be the ideal. I threw Bruce on the spot for no real reason, but other than that he was talking over there. But we do need something. We do have a grant that we're maybe going to try to get funded extramurally, and this would be a primary topic of trying to get that grant funded along with some other decision support tools, I think. And that would be the ideal, to make sure this sort of thing can happen in real time. Web-based implementation could be very well incorporated with decision support. I think we've done a great job over the last 10 or 15 years of having nice economic indices available within all of our breed associations. All of us deep down really want to be able to do something by a mix of deterministic and stochastic simulation, be able to say what breed fits your scenario on your cow herd the best and who should you pick for that. And that really underlies what all of us wish we could have implemented for everybody to be used for bull selection for all the traits that are available out there. This type of thing goes right into sort of a decision support approach that allows people to actually pick bulls based on a multitude of traits at the same time to see how they affect their bottom line. And I say although that as though it's something easy that we can do just because we'll talk about it and it'll happen in a week, but I think we need to do things like this to make incremental steps to help actual commercial buyers buy the bulls that they need to help their operation. So that goes with that extramural funding that I mentioned earlier. I hope that's successful. And if you're a breed association and we haven't approached you yet, we'll probably be looking for ways to get that support over time. In order to make it clear that we think that's an important tool for the overall breed, for overall breed improvement. I want to transition now to our GPE a little bit and what's been going on right now. I'll show a picture here in a second, but for those of you that haven't been aware, for the last 10 years or so, my colleagues Warren Snelling, Mark Tallman, and myself have been working with the Germplasm Evaluation Program to transition from what used to be a cycle-based system where 7 or 8 breeds would be sampled every year, and then those breeds would be compared to each other for that 2-year cycle or so, and then another cycle would come after that and a new set of breeds would be compared to each other, to something that's more of a continuous sampling from the 18 breeds that register the most animals and have genetic evaluations right now in the United States. And basically with that program, instead of having cycles, we're trying to make sure that we sample representative sires in collaboration with the breed associations with lists that they send us, who's been used the most over the last 2 to 4 years, depending on when we last sampled them, and which ones would be the most relevant for making sure we include in our GPE program. We're beginning to achieve a goal of grading up females from each breed because part of this sampling procedure has been making sure that we have cows that are essentially 7/8 or higher from each of these 18 breeds to use and evaluate in our GPE program. And we've been targeting high accuracy sires based basically on current sire usage within the breed. This is sort of a schematic of the way this program looks, and I actually don't think I have the most recent slide that Mark has for this, but I don't think it's too much different. Essentially, what we're trying to implement is a system where we can get direct heterosis effects, even breed-specific heterosis effects, by crossing these 18 breeds of sire with the 18 breeds of female that I'm saying we're trying to produce, to get F1 steers and cows that will also produce calves and get estimates of maternal heterosis and parameters like that, and measure this suite of normal production traits like what are used in the crossbreed EPD system, as well as the novel traits that we're able to do at the Meat and Out Research Center right now. Okay. And this is kind of where we're at right now. This is just a bit of a count of about how many 7/8 or higher cows that we have that are 6 years old or younger in our germplasm evaluation system right now for each of these 18 breeds, some of them quite a bit smaller than others. Brahman is smaller because, in general, we're trying to keep Brahman at just a half in the south central region of Nebraska where it does get cold in the winter. We're getting to just half-blood Brahmins, but the other breeds we're trying to get nearly purebred females overall. And you see, if I total all these up, I get somewhere close to around 1,200, I believe, cows of these 3/4 and 7/8. And that basically 1,200 is our target for how many purebred females we'd like to have out of our 3,000 or so females we have in the GPE right now. So we're getting close to graded up right now. You'll see there aren't as many 7/8 as 3/4, so we're one generation away, if you think about the 3/4, from getting our goal. And we'll continue to take some of those 7/8 to higher breed proportions as we continue to mate those in future sampling. So So as a summary of where this is at then, we've sampled approximately 930 bulls in these past 10 years since we began sampling these from all these different breed associations. We have more bulls sampled from larger breeds, but proportional to registrations, breeds with fewer registered animals every year have a much higher percentage of their bulls sampled. So if I just use a contrast between something like, say, Bronview, which is a lower registration base, and Hereford, which is much higher, the Bronview have more of their sires as a percentage sampled, but we've sampled a lot more Hereford bulls, for instance. And hopefully that makes sense. So it's not exactly proportional, but I think it's a fair way to try to represent the diversity within those breeds. And given that, we just want to say that this process of sampling these bulls, about 200 bulls every 2 years, is fairly time-consuming and fairly difficult. And when we've gotten this high with around 1,000 bulls sampled over 10 years, we're talking about a little bit of a shift. And just to give you some background, we've generally been trying to breed, it's not a progeny test directly, we've generally been trying to breed around 20 to 25 cows per bull with the bulls that we've sampled from the GP program in our system to target around 10 to 12 progeny per bull. And it's becoming more difficult as we do this, especially in the smaller breeds, to find unique lines as we continue in this sampling process. There aren't as many unrelated sires available, even doing it every 4 years for some of the breeds, as what there would have been at the beginning of our process, for one. And when we do start to get into some of these breeds, and this goes all the way up into larger breeds right now, it's becoming difficult to find animals that are actually collected for semen and obtain that semen in many cases, even if we do find different lines. Which transition us into a bit of a change where we're proposing actually sampling a few less sires per breed, scale it back a little bit, and have a few more progeny per sire. And we're just throwing this out here right now for a bit of a festering period for people to think about what the impact of that would be on overall breed comparison, genomics objectives, and the other things that we're doing at the Mean Animal Research Center right now. And so I'm just throwing that out there and what people's thoughts might be if we actually target a higher number of animals per bull and a few less bulls total that we sample. Another possible change that we've been discussing that's slightly related but a little bit different is that right now we've been getting to the point since we've started sampling and are releasing a lot of novel trait complexes into the industry to get to the literature to get breed differences on. For instance, we just had a feed efficiency paper released here in the last year. Generally, the traits that we're trying to get these papers out on are not the NC traits that I'm talking about from, for instance, the crossbreed EPD programs. These are traits that all breeds don't have. And we're wondering about the impact, and we'd like some feedback on this, of releasing multi-breed EPDs from these novel trait complexes into the industry for the bulls that we sample. So this would be a unique U.S. mark EPD that is derived from our novel trait phenotyping that we have at the Meat Animal Research Center. Okay. These would be some of the trait examples that I'm talking about here. Feed intake, feed efficiency I've covered, but we're not necessarily just talking about steers, which has been the focus of many of the trait complexes even within the breed association, but also heifers and cows, and some of the metabolism things or metagenomic things, which would be the bacterial content of the rumen, things like that. EPDs on that might not be that useful, I fully realize, but it may add to the accuracy of the breed and the evaluation in the future. Things like E. coli shedding, BRD resistance, fertility, tenderness in parts of meat quality, cow efficiency, and cow longevity. Realizing fully some of these are derived by some breeds, but some of them are not. And even if they're derived by some of the breeds, they're not in the hopefully commercial emulating environment that we're trying to produce at the Mean Animal Research Center. Okay. where we just had a discussion on cow longevity and feedstock relative to commercial cattle production. Okay. So there's some complications with this, and this is why we want some feedback. Who do we release these EPDs to? Do they go to the breed associations for the individual breeds of sires that are involved? There's good and bad things about that. Do they go to BIF and published in BIF when we come around to it? Can we release bulls for bull EPDs for the bulls that we've already sampled when we didn't tell the breeders that we were going to derive EPDs on it? In fact, when we were asked and some breeders were interested in it, we specifically said we can't guarantee we're doing this. And we appreciate all the people. I know there's several in this room that have given bulls to us, but we don't know how people would feel about this type of ETE being released without asking first. Obviously, we couldn't say, oh, let's see our EPDs first, and then if we like it, you can release it. I know everybody wants to do that anyway in the regular NCEs, but with even without that, is this okay to release without asking? And do breeders have a right to refuse if they haven't been contacted? And there's a consideration here. I'm talking about 10 years of sampling. Some of these bulls were not young when we sampled them 10 years ago, and some of these certainly don't have semen on them anymore. That could be useful for the breeds because you could deregress these EPDs or whatever and use them as phenotypes and at least get something pedigree estimated for progeny of these bulls if you had it as a breed association. But where do you see that, and what do we need for permissions on such a thing? If we decided to do this, we would make future solicitations where we're asking for bulls. We would make this release that you would allow these EPDs to come out part of our solicitation process so that we wouldn't have to ask and have this kind of dicey issue be involved with this anymore. While this change is being considered primarily, the increasing progeny per sire is primarily being considered to decrease our sampling process and still achieve our GPE objectives, it would produce more progeny records for bulls if we're putting 35 straws of semen in instead of 20 and producing more progeny that are going through our feed efficiency facilities or things like that. So we would get a better evaluation if we do up the number of progeny per sire, as I mentioned earlier. Obviously, unless everybody's willing to get sex semen to us, we're not going to be able to guarantee our progeny distribution with that, and we'll have some bulls that are better for cow traits and some that are better for steer traits, and that's just the way it is right now, unless something changes substantially over time. We see this release of the EPDs as a helpful byproduct, but not a primary service. It doesn't mean that you guys can expect a March 1st evaluation from us every year on novel traits. It means that it would happen as we summarize breed differences or genomic data or something to that effect as part of a byproduct of what would come out. We'd produce EPDs. So I wouldn't say there's a yearly update, but we are asking, is this something people see as useful? So please let us know your thoughts as we consider both of these changes for GPE. And with that, I'd love some discussion on this. Any questions you have about either of these issues, we're all happy. Warren, Mark, and I are all here and happy to discuss a bit further now or talk about it as you see us in the hallway later. So.